Never waste a good crisis, the saying goes. The pandemic brought unprecedented change to all our lives. And one of the most significant was how we work. Overnight, we were told by government to work from home if we could. Hundreds of thousands of us did and still are. It was tough for many people, particularly when the schools were closed. Many found the lack of interaction, the lack of networking with colleagues very difficult. But for many others, it transformed their lives. It meant less time in the car or on the train or bus and more time with families. It meant they were able to do their work more efficiently, less time wasting. It also allowed people who hadn't worked in years to return to the workplace. So hopes were high that this new type of working would become a more permanent thing for people if they wanted it. Well, the government has now published legislation to allow workers to ask to work from home and to allow employers the right to say no. Under the law, bosses have at least 13 grounds for refusal. There is a right to appeal through the Workplace Relations Commission or ultimately the Labour Court. So what do workers think of this all? Well, our reporter Killian Sherlock has been finding out this morning.
I'd prefer to be at home,
So will you be one of these people who's asking your employer for the right to work from home, at least in some way?
Yeah, I'm going to actually ask them today to see, just even if I could do a couple of days at home. So,
are you worried? Do you think they'll let you, or are you worried that they might not?
No, I think they might. I mean, they know it's after being working for the last nearly 2 years, so hopefully.
Yeah. And what is it about working from home that you like in particular?
No rushing in the mornings.
I looked into it all right, but at the end of the day, like, the employer is paying you, so he really has the right to say if you can work remotely or not. It's not really up to the government.
But the people should have opportunity to choose. And you know, like, I look at my colleagues and friends, some they have real problem with childcare. Okay, first of all, you need to arrange the childcare. I'm not saying like full time, but even to pick from school. Okay, but if somebody can pick the child from school at, say, 12:30 or 1 during their lunchtime, I don't see that being a problem. That's why I think if people will have the opportunity to be able to work remotely, definitely will be benefit them even financially.
The views of some people in Dublin this morning. Well, we are joined now by the co-leader of the Social Democrats, Catherine Murphy, TD for Kildare North. Catherine Murphy, the Taoiseach the Leo Varadkar said yesterday that the intention of this bill is to make it easier for employers to say yes to their staff who want to remote work and harder for them to say no. Do you agree that that is what it does?
No, I don't. In actual fact, it's the right to request rather than a right to work from or work remotely or work from home. And in fact, some of the reasons for refusal are so intangible that it would be difficult for an employee to construct an argument against a refusal. And then the they can obviously appeal it to the WRC, but there's already a 12 to 15 month waiting list currently, but there's no expertise in the WRC in relation to this. And as you said in the opening section, like, this is the potential to be transformative, the disruption, and you need big disruptors to make big changes. And it kind of reminds me a little bit like, you know, the great intentions after the economic crash about things not going back to the way they were, but in actual fact you can see a scenario where this great opportunity, you know, would be lost if there isn't the culture embedded in a more permissive environment, allowing a more flexible arrangement, you know, working from home or working remotely. And like, that has gains, and including on some of the ones that the government have an ambition for, and that is like for even car journeys. They're looking to reduce the number of car journeys per day by 500,000 by 2030. This kind of measure would help that. And indeed, when you start looking at the CSO's returns recently in relation to where it was most favoured, and it was the commuter belt actually around Dublin that most favoured the working from home or remote working. And that's not surprising because people are spending very long numbers of hours in their cars or on transport. And indeed, it's quite costly as well at a time where there's energy prices. So that's one of the gains, but there's gains for obviously...
In relation to this specific legislation that the government is bringing forward now, is there room for amendment? Will there be many changes put forward to it, or will it largely be as it is?
Well, what tends to happen is that the opposition will put forward, amendments and proposals, and they tend not to be taken in the main. The goodwill coming from the government side would have to be obvious, and the government have been doubling down on this since they announced this yesterday, and making arguments as to why they can't make more substantial changes. At the end of the day, I think people should go and speak to their employers and try and get those changes at an early stage, and try and get embedded the kind of work practices that have taken place over the last couple of years. But really, I see this legislation as a charter to refuse. The mindset of that would have to fundamentally change, I think.
But a policy or a law on remote working, it cannot exist in isolation. Such a fundamental shift in how we work has consequences, knock-on effects for other things, not least the planning and development of towns and city centres if workers are not going to be there any longer. Now, do you have a template for that, for example? Because, as I say, remote working cannot exist in isolation from things like that.
Yes, and there's no doubt that's true. And we could see, for example, how city centres emptied. And that tells us about where people are living. And the absence of communities and the, emptying of cities, of communities, has been very problematic anyway. So this is multifaceted. But one of the positive things from an employer's perspective has been repeated surveys have shown that this actually improves the productivity rate of employees, and people had time to do things like exercise, time for family, things like that. It brought people into the workforce, for example, more women, and we've just heard that earlier on the news, and indeed people with disabilities gained from this. So you grow your workforce as well. The money is spent somewhere as well, and you will probably find that the more local businesses would have benefited, but the city centres didn't, and there's no doubt that that is an imbalance of where people live.
Okay, I want to ask you just briefly about the meeting yesterday between the Defence Minister, Simon Coveney, and the various groups involved with the Defence Forces around these allegations of serious sexual assault, bullying and discrimination made by the Women of Honour group in the RTE radio documentary last year. After an hour of talks, the Women of Honour group told the Minister that the meeting they felt was going nowhere because he was sticking to his plan to hold an independent review rather than a statutory inquiry, so they left that meeting. Now, Simon Coveney said in an interview on the 6-1 yesterday that he has a duty of care to the 400 or so women currently serving to ensure that their workplace is safe, and that he's not ruling out a statutory inquiry after this, that is within the judge's power to order one. Is that good enough?
No, I don't think it is. And I think, this review, or this, what the Women of Honour were seeking was not just a review of past practices, but they wanted it to be a catalyst for, systemic cultural reform. It has been known that there have been problems in the Defence Forces for a long time, but the bravery of these women coming out, really kind of move that along. And I can't see how an inquiry that doesn't have the confidence of the whistleblowers can work, or indeed doesn't have the teeth that a statutory inquiry would have. And I've got to say, I can understand they use the word disappointment, but I'd say probably devastated is probably how they feel, because they really put themselves out there to make that change. And I can understand their disappointment.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Catherine Murphy, co-leader of the Social Democrats and TD for Kildare North.